Now, from Insight for Living Ministries, the brand new 2018 calendar is ready at insight.org. Inspired by a verse in 1 John, the theme of the 2018 calendar is, "My little children, love one another."
Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. 1 John 3:18.
12 months to keep track of your schedule, 12 real-life depictions of Christian love, and 12 reminders to love one another.
Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." Luke 18:16.
Display the calendar in a prominent place where you're reminded every day to love one another.
John 15:13 says, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you."
My little children, love one another. Get your copy today at insight.org. The 2018 calendar from Insight for Living Ministries. It's not unusual to receive comments from listeners who express gratitude for the teaching they've come to expect each day. They see Insight for Living as setting the standard for clearly teaching the truth of God's Word without compromise. Tragically, we know that many churches, certainly not all, have eroded into centers for entertainment rather than exposition. Today, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll teach from Ezekiel chapter 33. In this passage, we'll gain inspiration from an ancient prophet who fearlessly defended the voice of God with unconventional methods. Before we begin, Chuck leads us in prayer.
Speak, Lord, today in a very special and unforgettable way. May we truly hear what you are saying, and may we heed what we hear. May it make a difference, unlike those who lived in Ezekiel's day, who simply went through the empty motions of religious activities, trafficking in unlived truth. Deliver us, our Father, from that kind of response. May we be sensitive followers of yours. May we pay attention to what you are saying and how it fits the day in which we live. And may it make a difference in the way we live. What a pleasure it is to be in your presence with your people in this quiet and significant place of worship. We pray that we'll be able to focus our attention on things that matter and filter out the non-essentials so that we truly, truly get it. In the matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, and everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Discouraging Signs of a Dying Ministry.
Ours is a dark era of a dying church. The one place in society that was meant to be a place where truth was told uninterrupted and where a declaration was made faithfully regarding the voice of God speaking to the hearts of women and men, teenagers and children. The church was often the very center of communities. It was there, if not any other place, there you could rely on a faithful message from the book of God to be set forth and to be believed, and the result to have your life transformed. In the church, there is the freedom of an uninterrupted declaration of truth that is not politically correct, where God speaks and we all sit in silence and let Him speak, knowing that what He tells us is always right. Even though the spokesman is certainly fallible and will often make mistakes in his or her life, those who declare the truth from the scriptures are those most respected, or once were most respected. But now, most of that has changed. And therein lies the tragedy. Walt Kaiser, the distinguished professor of Old Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary in New England, author of several fine books and a personal friend of mine whom I deeply respect, writes this in a book titled Toward an Exegetical Theology. Listen to Kaiser. It's no secret that Christ's church is not at all in good health in many places of the world. She has been languishing because she has been fed junk food, all kinds of artificial preservatives, and all sorts of unnatural substitutes have been served up to her. As a result, theological and biblical malnutrition has afflicted the very generation that has taken such giant steps to make sure its physical health is not damaged by using food or products that are carcinogenic or otherwise harmful to their physical bodies. Simultaneously, a worldwide spiritual famine resulting from the absence of any genuine proclamation of the Word of God continues to run wild and almost unabated in most quarters of the church. Dr. Kaiser is spot on. The problem goes all the way back to the training of today's minister. If he is not trained to analyze carefully the scriptures and then to build a bridge from that to the sermon, to the people, then he will turn to junk food and get his information from current events or hunches or ideas or some entertaining source. Albert Mohler, Jr., the president of Southern Seminary, the Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, writes, "The last few decades have been a period of wanton experimentation in many pulpits. One of the most troubling developments is the decline and eclipse of expository preaching. Numerous influential voices within evangelicalism are suggesting that the age of the expository sermon is now past. In its place, some contemporary preachers now substitute messages intentionally designed to reach secular or superficial congregations, messages that avoid preaching a biblical text and thus avoid a potentially embarrassing confrontation with biblical truth." He writes in his book, he is not silent. "We live," he writes, "in an era of spiritual death. Spiritually, our culture has wasted away to nothing, nothing but a valley of dry bones." Those closing words of Mohler prompted me to remember a man who ministered in the midst of a valley of dry bones. His name, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the unconventional prophet, who used unconventional methods in his ministry. In addition, he received unconventional visions from God and used unconventional language as he carried out his unconventional and unenviable calling. The reason? He was living as we are in an era of an unconventional age. So it took that kind of strange prophet to break through the people. One man calls Ezekiel a pulpit committee's nightmare. I like that. But a prophet of God nonetheless. I'm convinced today not a church in America would call Ezekiel to be their pastor. Prophets are those who comforted the afflicted and afflicted the comfortable. No one sat before a prophet at ease, but always, as it were, on tiptoe, realizing that he spoke from God. Not because he was flawless, but because God, in a day when the Bible was not yet complete, God spoke through a revelation to various spokesmen along the way, many of them prophets, most of them martyred, hated, and ultimately silenced, even though what they said was the truth. Let me catch you up on the context of Ezekiel 33. The Jewish nation has fallen into the hands of the Babylonians, who swept in like a flood, broke down the walls, tore down the temple, the center of the Jewish culture and life, and then marched the people off to a foreign land to live in a place of a different culture, a different language, to live in what was called the exile. God had repeatedly warned them. Relentlessly, they had ignored him. And they are now suffering the consequences. He told them, don't worship other idols. They worshiped other idols. He told them, don't intermarry with other races. They intermarried with other races. He told them, do not commit adultery. They committed adultery and were proud of it. He told them, do not raise your family according to heathen lifestyle, but according to my law. They raised their families according to heathen lifestyle. And finally, he said, enough is enough. And the sword fell, and the people left broken, moving into a realm of confusion and shame. But that wasn't enough to break them. Because even when an exilic prophet like Ezekiel was raised up to speak to them, he was to them sort of a novel presence. They didn't respect him as you would think they would. Listen to what he called the people: rebellious, impudent, stiff-hearted, thorns, idolaters, scorpions, adulterers. He became, nevertheless, the most popular voice among them. He was what we might call the toast of the talk shows. But all their interest in Ezekiel's strong message was shallow and superficial. If there is one biblical image that comes closest to fitting the image of our times, it's what we just mentioned earlier. It was a valley of dry bones. Put bluntly, that is an apt description of times in which we live. Our entire culture is a veritable valley of dry bones, intellectually, culturally, and certainly spiritually. We live in the middle of such a valley, so dry and so dead, the bones don't even rattle. Only the power of God, using the Word of God, can bring back the life and the enthusiasm so needed, so desperately needed in our day. I don't believe our situation is hopeless, but I'm telling you, more than ever in my life, I believe it is difficult. Look at any public square and you will find restraints against religion, laws now made that stand against religious freedom, statements made that put down religious emphasis. Even words are to be removed from the vocabulary of students as they go through school. Ours is a very real challenge. And the church, I say it again, the church is one of the last citadels where we can count on God to still speak to his people if the spokesman will simply use the word of God. But that is increasingly more in the minority. I don't know how many people tell me from time to time that they thought exposition was out of date, no longer effective. Put bluntly, Ezekiel's times provide a perfect description of our 21st century times. And it's easy to be numbed against that, especially because this is such a healthy and harmonious church. Because God has, by his grace, given us a number of things that have blended together, I say again, by his grace, so that we enjoy so much, we can easily take it all for granted. But the question that must be asked is the hard question. Are you any different for having been a part of this ministry over the years? Are you a different person at work than you used to be? Are you quick to forgive rather than as you once were, one who held a grudge? Are you angry, or have you resolved your anger? Are you a better father or mother or grandparent? Are you one who is kind and merciful, deeply concerned about the lost and longing to win them to the name of Christ and to his work and to his family? You see, our problem is that we operate in the minority. In these walls, we are in the majority. But as soon as we step outside, we are numbered among those people. We are seen as bigoted, hateful, unforgiving, judgmental. And admittedly, many of them don't know great Christians, people who are consistently representatives of Christ. So they form those opinions by experiences they've had with carnal Christians. We're in the minority when we're out there in the midst of a world that doesn't know Christ. Another reason it's difficult is because it requires determination to remain different. I remember when we founded this church and we established some basic principles for who we would be, what kind of church we would be. I refused to look at what any other church was doing or to pattern a ministry after some other ministry. One of the commitments that I declared, even in writing, is that we would be a church that continues to teach and preach the Word of God. Every adult fellowship would focus on the Word of God. Every teenage gathering would ultimately bring the kids face to face with the truth of the Word of God. Our children's program would revolve around stories and teachings from the Word of God. From the very beginning of their education here, all the way through life here in this church, the Word of God would become the basis of the message. And we stand there. It requires the discipline of study, the absolute determination that I will not stand before you and give you a lot of silly comments or what my mother used to call pea patch stories, whatever that is, and all the shallow stuff that represents junk food. I will not apologize to take you into the book of Ezekiel, though you may not be familiar with it. It's a part of the Bible, and its message is incredibly relevant. But we are in the minority, and it will require strong determination to stay here. It's difficult to be different. And over the years, we have fought to remain different. Furthermore, it can't be done without a team effort. It takes not just someone in the pulpit to believe in this. It takes not only a leader, it takes all of us being led to support it. It requires the support of a congregation, the confidence that this is what is best, that we together want God to speak to us from His Word, that we long to have Christ as the head of our ministry, guiding us wherever He may take us. And trust me, our times will get only worse. Regardless of who is in the Oval Office, our times will get only worse because Scripture states that. In the last days, difficult times will come, and they are now upon us. So it requires a leader to be committed to making a difference, as well as a congregation of people that are right there in support of that, equally committed. Without that combination, that team effort, everything will stay as it is, or even worse, it will erode. As soon as I am out of the picture, who knows what will happen? If you are not committed to a pulpit that stands firm for the things of God. This is not about me, but being the founding pastor, I had the privilege of setting the pace for the church and the shape it would take, not without opposition, I might add. But when you stay at it and you are committed to it, it is remarkable when you get a gathering of people equally committed, what can be done. That's where it broke down with Ezekiel. He got the message. He delivered the message, but they didn't want the message. It's interesting how this all takes shape. When you look at the whole context of Ezekiel 33, you see that God is speaking. Have your Bible open? You thought I'd never get here, didn't you? Took me a little while, but Ezekiel 33 is a classic section for a prophet. Please observe several things. Verse 1, a message came to me from the Lord. The prophet got his message from God. God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet spoke to the people. The Bible was not written, was not compiled, was not finished by then, so they must rely on the revelation of God through the throat of a faithful prophet. Ezekiel was such. Give your people this message, son of man. Look at verse 3. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Now, verse 7. Son of man, I'm making you a watchman for the people of Israel. That's a lonely place to be. In the Marines, we call that the point man. On reconnaissance, you're the first to get shot. You're out on the front edge. You're the one who is seen and known and often attacked. You're the watchman, Ezekiel. That's your calling. So he took the calling. Verse 10, son of man, give the people of Israel this message. Verse 12, son of man, give the people this message. Verse 23, the message came to me from the Lord. Verse 25, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Verse 27, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You got it, don't you? All the way through. Look at the end of verse 29. After all of this occurs and the bottom drops out of their lives because of their detestable sins, look at what it says at the end. Then they will know I and the Lord. God and God alone reigns as supreme. How will they know that? Because Ezekiel told them. And Ezekiel reminded them. And Ezekiel repeated it. They will then realize after the fact that I am God.
Ezekiel served as the watchman on the wall, or the point man, making sure the enemy would never catch Israel off guard. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Discouraging Signs of a Dying Ministry. To purchase the CDs for this series or to find downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org and look for the series titled, Cultivating a Dynamic Ministry. In a real sense, Insight for Living serves as your watchman, looking over the horizon to catch trends that would threaten our churches and families. And when you invest in this ministry, you're giving us ammunition to defeat the enemy. As a contributor, you're a partner with us. In that spirit, let me extend a special word of thanks to our monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who chooses to support the ministry of Insight for Living with a donation every month. And as their numbers increase, monthly companions are providing strength and stability to this ministry, and many people are hearing Chuck's teaching as a direct result of their generosity. Maybe today's the day you'll step forward and join their ranks. You can do that right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companions. Whether you decide to become a monthly companion or simply give a one-time donation, we'd like to say thanks by providing the 2018 Insight for Living wall calendar. Next year's theme is My Little Children Love One Another. By displaying this calendar in your home or office, you'll have a daily reminder to express your Christian faith in tangible ways. Each month contains a thoughtful scripture reference and a beautiful photograph, depicting the way the church family cares for one another and reaches out to our community with God's love. Ask for the 2018 calendar when you become a monthly companion or give a donation of any amount today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. You can also go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Listen again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll's series called Cultivating a Dynamic Ministry continues here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Discouraging Signs of a Dying Ministry, was copyrighted in 2016 and 2017, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.